Good morning, friends. We want to welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. Our topic this morning is adding to God's Word. And sometimes people add to God's Word in order to make their own particular religious doctrine. And we're told in the Word of God not to do that. And so we're going to look at the importance of being careful not to add to the Word of God. And sometimes when people add to the Word of God, it's just one little word, and it could be as small as the word not. And so this morning we want to consider that. And when I think of someone adding the word not to what God has already said, I think about the devil. And that little word not that the devil added to God's Word back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, you may remember that God told Adam and Eve that they were to tend the garden and they could eat of all of the trees that are in the garden, but they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that they eat of it, they would die. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Well, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the devil in the form of a serpent comes and tempts Eve, and then she gives to Adam to eat of that fruit. And the way he gets her to do that is he just simply adds the little word not. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now, back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then in Genesis 3, 4, you shall not surely die. So the devil, of course, lied, but he just simply added the little word not. And so we need to be careful about how easy it is for someone to add to the Word of God and mislead us. God does not want us to alter His Word and change it. He does not want us to add to it or take from it. And He's told us both in the Old and New Testament not to do that very thing. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, He told the Israelites through Moses, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it or take from it, that you may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God which I command you. Do not add to it or take from it. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32, we read the same thing. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, whatsoever I command you, you shall observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. We also read the same thing in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 and 6 says the same thing. We find this all throughout various places in the Word of God, reminders of not to add to or to take from the Word of God. Every word of God is tried. He is a shield unto them that take refuge in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Do not add to the Word of God. And yet we find that over and over again in today's religious world, people have always done that. And so the devil did it at the beginning of time, and people have continued to do that very thing. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5, Galatians 3 and verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet when it hath been confirmed, no one maketh it void or addeth thereto. You know, we don't do that with covenants that we make, contracts that we sign today. We sign it and we leave it alone. We don't add to it. And yet people will do that to the Word of God all the time. But in Revelation chapter 22, at the very end of the Bible, what's one of the last things that is mentioned? Right at the very end of the Bible, it is a reminder not to add to or take from the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. So not to add to or take from the word of God. Now, to illustrate this lesson this morning, I would like for us to turn to a passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, when Jesus is telling his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He lays down two conditions there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I want us to use this verse and insert the word not various places in this verse. And what you're going to find is some modern day teaching by adding the word not in. And I've actually heard preachers and teachers and pastors and different ones say, well, you do not have to be baptized in order to be saved. And so they add the not in there. And who are we to be so presumptuous to come along and just presume that we can add to the Word of God? A lot of times we do it just simply to uphold our man-made theology. It's not what the Scripture teaches. We have bought into a man-made theology, a religious teaching, and then now we have to twist and distort the gospel in order to support that. And so this morning I want us to consider, if you'll get out your Bible and just think about putting in the word not. We're not literally going to write that in the verse, but think about where we might put that. For example, number one, he that believeth and is baptized shall not be saved. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. So let's put the little word not in there. He that believeth and is baptized shall not be saved. Well, that would be the position of the atheist. Those who do not believe in God, they do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They do not believe that you need to be saved from sin. There is no such thing as salvation from sin. This is the atheist position. This is the position that says you don't need to do anything at all because there's no salvation that you need anyway. We just live our life the way we want, and when we're dead and gone. There is no God. There is no judgment day. And so he that believeth and is baptized shall not be saved. In other words, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time to read the Bible and the gospel and believe it. You're wasting your time to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. None of that is going to do anything because there's no salvation to be concerned about in the first place. There is no sin. There is no salvation from sin. There is no Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, you see. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There's absolutely nothing after you die. The psalmist says in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so it's just a foolish thing, but many people believe that and they go on believing that. And so they don't believe you need to do anything to be saved because there is no such thing as salvation. And so just put the little word not in there and you really get the atheist position. In Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 and 21 and 22, Paul talks about how that God has made himself known in his creation. And yet there are those who refuse to have God in their knowledge. Romans 1 verse 28, and they refuse to have God in their knowledge. They know God, but they do not want to glorify him and give him thanks, but became vain in their reasonings and in their senseless heart was darkened. Verse 22, Romans 1 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beast and creeping things, idolatry. And so people who just will not accept the truth of God. Let's consider putting the little word not again into Mark 16, 16, but put it in a little bit different place. He that believeth not and is not baptized shall be saved. he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be saved. There's some people that believe that God is so good that everybody in the world's going to be saved. Everybody's going to heaven regardless of how they live or what they do on the earth. This is basically the position of what has been called universalism, universal, all people everywhere get to go to heaven. But it ignores the plain teaching of God's Word. And so we know in God's Word that there is a heaven and a hell. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, the righteous go off into eternal life, the wicked go off into eternal punishment. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, hell. There is a narrow way that leads to eternal life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And so there is a heaven, there is a hell. If you turn to Romans chapter 2, you find that there's two destinies, heaven or hell. Not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody's going to be saved. But there are some people who say, well, he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be saved. You can pretty much live any way you want and you're going to go to heaven. No, Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, but unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no respect of persons with God. And so, whether we obey unrighteousness or obey the truth, it will determine our eternal destiny. In the scripture, we find that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and not everybody is going to be saved. We have to strive to enter in to that narrow way that leads to eternal destruction. We need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Well, let's look at that little word, not. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, what if somebody said, he that believeth not and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not and is baptized shall be saved. Some teach that little infants need to be baptized. Our Catholic friends and others say that little infants need to be baptized because they have inherited sin from their parents all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so as soon as they're born, they need to be baptized. They're clearly not old enough to believe. So he that believeth not, you don't have to be old enough to believe, but you need to be baptized, shall be saved. So he that believeth not and is baptized shall be saved. That's basically the position of everyone who practices infant baptism. You've got a little baby who's clearly not old enough to believe. And those people who practice infant baptism will often have what's called a confirmation service later in their life, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. It's different in different religions. And the reason they have that is that now they're old enough to say, I believe. They're old enough to say what they believe and what they stand for. Well, that's the very point, friend. You're supposed to be old enough to do that at the beginning of your conversion. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But the infant baptism position is, he that believeth not, because you're not old enough to, and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that's not what Jesus said. We have to be old enough to hear the word of God and believe it and obey it. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me. There has to be teaching. There has to be hearing. There has to be learning. And an infant can't do any of that. Every case of conversion in the book of Acts in the New Testament, everyone without exception, always had the preaching of the Word of God, the hearing of the Word of God, the believing of the Word of God, and the obeying of the Word of God, culminating in baptism. Everyone. There is not one single case of infant baptism in all of the New Testament. in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. An infant can't have faith because he's not old enough to hear the word of God. But we must have faith or belief in order to come to God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We must believe that he is and is the rewarder. Without faith, it is impossible to be well pleasing unto him. But, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. We have to be old enough. And so every case of conversion in the book of Acts always has the preaching and the hearing and the obeying of the word of God from beginning to end. You can start at the first example or case of conversion in the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Infants are born into this world innocent. We're born upright and innocent. And there is no inherited sin from Adam and Eve. We don't have time to discuss that this morning, to refute that or to answer that, but that is not in the Word of God. We don't inherit our sin from our parents. Ezekiel chapter 18, the whole chapter teaches how that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We do not bear the iniquity of our father, and we certainly don't inherit that from Adam and Eve. And all throughout the book of Acts, we have cases of conversion. And one other example in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, when Paul was preaching in Corinth, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Clearly, they're old enough. One other point, and then we'll move on. Sometimes people read in the book of Acts about how that individuals and their household were converted. And so they say, well, you see, a household, so that has little infants in it. Well, that's just simply not true. For example, in Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verses 32, 33, and 34, the Philippian jailer and his household were baptized into Christ. Well, did that include infants? Absolutely not. A household does not necessitate infants. I have a household of four children, and there's not one infant in the Chris Reeves household. The youngest of our children is 12 years old. There is no infant in the Chris Reeves household. And so just because the idea of household is mentioned doesn't mean that there are infants there. In Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, Cornelius and his house or his household, they heard the word of God and were baptized. But that doesn't mean that there were infants there. And so the word household does not mean infants or imply or necessitate or demand infants. There just simply are no infant baptisms in the New Testament. Well, let's put that little word not back into Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Some say, now remember, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. People come along there and put that little word not in. And here's what a lot of people do, and this is probably one of the most popular ones of the religious world today. Listen carefully. He that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. You ever heard of that? That happens a lot. And it's preached and taught in this community and many places around where you believe, faith only, and you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. And so in effect, what that is saying is, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. Many teach that a person is saved at the point when they believe in Jesus, even though Jesus never even taught that. At the point that he believes in Jesus before he is baptized, this is faith only salvation. It's contrary to biblical truth, and yet it's one of the most popular religious teachings today. Name one place in the scripture where a person was told that he's saved by faith only. Friend, do you know that the only place in the New Testament where faith only is mentioned in the scripture, the word not is there. Not by faith only. In James chapter 2 and verses 24 through 26, James teaches that we are justified not by faith only. And so faith only is a man-made teaching. It is not a teaching of God's word. In fact, faith must have obedience that goes with it. and that culminates in baptism. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, it's described as the obedience of faith, the obedience of faith. And in also in Romans chapter 16 and verse 26, the obedience of faith. And then Romans 6 verse 17, you obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You were obedient from the heart to that form of teaching where unto you were delivered. Obedient from the heart. So we need to have faith and belief, but it obeys the words of Jesus. If you look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 4, there are many individuals, there are many men, and in the case of Sarah, it says, by faith they did this, by faith they did that, by faith Abel offered a sacrifice, by faith Noah prepared an ark. You see, there's a verb that goes with each one of those, showing that their faith was active. It's not just a mental thought about, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior and bang, at the moment I'm saved. Or I pray a little thing and bang, I'm saved. That's not, it's never taught that way in the Word of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus taught. And friend, we just simply need to be content to teach it the way Jesus himself said it from his own words. What Jesus said was, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We're not going to put the little word not in there, even though it's tempting to do that. This is what Jesus said, and this is what the rest of the New Testament teaches. You know, if you look at the parallel account in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And we are baptized into Christ in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And our faith causes us to believe in Christ and obey His Word and then be baptized into Him. And we're not in Christ. We do not have our sins washed away until we've been baptized into Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, Peter says, baptism doth also now save you. The water itself doesn't save. Jesus and His blood on the cross saves. But we contact that blood, we gain the benefits of that blood when we're baptized into His death. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, that we're baptized into the death of Christ. That's where we contact the benefits and the blessings of Jesus dying on the cross, when we're baptized into His death. But then somebody says, well, you know, I've heard that baptism is a work and we're not saved by works. Well, in the New Testament, we're told many places where we're not saved by works. And those passages are talking about works of men, works that we do in order to try to be saved ourselves. And I would say amen to that, that we are not saved by works of men, works that we've done in order to try to be right with God. However, do you know that baptism is a work of God? Did you know that? Have you ever been taught that, friend? You know, a lot of people haven't even heard that or haven't even been taught that. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, when we're baptized, it's actually the working of God. It's not a work of man. It's not something we do. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When we were buried with Him in baptism, and raised with Him, it's called the working of God. And you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did He make alive together with Him, having forgiven us of our trespasses. That's when we're forgiven, when we've been buried with Christ in baptism and raised with Him. Look at it, through faith in the working of God. It's something that God does to save us. When He sees us go down and be buried and raised out of that water, He does the work to forgive us of our trespasses and cleanse us. And that's what we want. When Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," that's the biblical truth. This should be what we believe and teach. This should be what we settle on and what we put our life on. The teaching of Jesus Christ, not on some man-made teaching, which often inserts the little word "not." Now, I know that preachers and teachers don't literally do that. They don't write it in their Bible. But their teaching and their preaching and their doctrine is basically adding "nots" to the Scripture, adding the word "not" here and there. And we've seen in the story, friend, of Genesis chapter 3, where Eve was deceived, we've seen how easy it is to change God's word. God said in Genesis 2:17, "You shall surely die." The devil said in Genesis 3:4, "You shall not surely die." It's so easy to do that very thing. And Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, those who twist or distort the Scriptures to their own destruction. And it's easy to twist the Word of God and make it say something that it doesn't really say. And it's easy to do that, so easy that it's just adding the little word "not." We also learn how easy it is to believe a lie. The devil said, "You shall not surely die." And Eve was deceived by that and believed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 that she was deceived by the devil. And there are those who do not have a love for the truth, and so they're easily deceived, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 10 through 12. Another lesson that we learn is how serious a mistake it is to change God's word, even if it means adding one little word "not." In Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 24, Adam and Eve are cursed for their sin. The devil is cursed and made to crawl on his belly. Eve is cursed in the pain of childbirth, and Adam is cursed by working the sweat of his brow. They're cast out of the garden. It's a serious thing to change the word of God, even to add one little word. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 that when people come along preaching another gospel, they are accursed. And that is a serious thing. So friends, let's not add to the Word of God or take from it. You know how common it is for good religious persons to change the Word of God and for good religious persons to believe those changes that are found in the Word of God. Let us not add to the Word of God. And if we have sin in our life that has not been washed away, the admonition of Jesus is, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Somebody says, "Well, why didn't Jesus also say, 'He that believeth not and is not baptized shall be condemned'?" Well, friend, think about it. If you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized anyway. So Jesus said, "He that believeth not shall be condemned." He didn't have to say, "and is not baptized," because there's no need to mention that. If a person doesn't believe, he's not going to be baptized anyway. It's just simple disbelief that'll cause you to be lost. And so we encourage you to believe and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if we can help you do that, contact us. Let's study together. Let's do that very thing so that we can be saved and go to heaven. Thank you for joining us this morning, and have a good day.